It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, everyone listening in Los Angeles and on KBC.com throughout the world. My name is Alan Gervie, and of course, I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn, and today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And at this time, I usually say hello to Carrie Kasem. You heard that introduction. She should be standing or sitting or lying next to me. Well, maybe not lying next to me, but she should be here, and she isn't. Again, Carrie Kasem is, without a doubt, the busiest person in the whole world. But I am so lucky today because even though Carrie's a little bit better looking than my co-host today, I have our producer sitting next to me who does a phenomenal job of putting our shows together with Debbie Payne. We have right here Jason Rose. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you, sir. How are you?
I am doing great. And how are you doing? Isn't it exciting to get behind the microphone because you're usually doing all these things that we don't hear about, and now I can actually talk to you right here in the flesh.
And that's me, and I'm here, and I am not Carrie Kasem, but as far as the looks go, hey, you know, ask my fiance, you never know.
Yeah, I am not going to compare you to Carrie Kasem, but I'll tell you, it's nice to have you, and again, we don't know where Carrie is. She hopefully will be back next week. I can't keep track of her schedule. She's doing all kinds of great work with her visitation bills throughout the country, and we have a great show today. Before we get to what we're going to talk about, I'm just going to tease you right now, all you folks listening who are into fantasy sports, you don't want to miss today's show because we are talking about DraftKings and
FanDuel.
FanDuel and DraftKings. Thanks, Jason. I knew that, by the way. I'm a big fantasy guy. I'm going to tell you my experiences with fantasy. I have so many trophies in my Yahoo Fantasy trophy case. And if people don't understand that, go to Yahoo Fantasy, and they do have trophy cases. I've won my share over the last 15 years, but I've never put money into fantasy. And we're going to talk about all of the controversy and the scandal that took place this week and has been going on for some time now with FanDuel and DraftKings. Before we do that, Jason, I want to tell you a little bit of something that I am very familiar with because this is in my wheelhouse, and that has to do with what Governor Brown has done with workers' compensation bills in the past week. This may not be the big national story that FanDuel and DraftKings is, but it certainly is important in my world. And Jason, I spoke to you earlier today about this, and I told you about the vetoes. And for those of you who think that Governor Brown is being fair to injured workers, there's something that you need to hear about. I remember a few short years ago, or maybe a few long years ago, when I had dinner with Governor Brown, and I was part of the California Applicant Attorneys Association, and we were talking about injured workers, and he pledged his support for injured workers and said that he was going to make sure that they got the benefits they deserved and that there would be an equal opportunity for men and women to get benefits, and there would be any type of discrimination whatsoever. And what did he do? He went to sleep with the insurance companies and the employers to take all their money, and now he's vetoing every bill that comes across his desk that might help injured workers. So the first one I want to talk about is AB 305. That was by Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez, and that was a bill that said it would prohibit apportioning physical and psychiatric injuries to menopause and pregnancy. The bill would also have required the impairment rating for breast cancer and its sequelae to be no less than the rating for prostate cancer. Jason, what do you think he did to that?
I'm going to say he probably trashed it.
He did. So I'm not sure why he doesn't respect women, but I think it's deplorable that our governor would not be able to equate men and women's problems, breast cancer, comparable for ratings for prostate cancer, because prostate cancer has a certain rating without apportionment. But of course, with menopause and breast cancer, the governor is saying women should not be protected.
I think that it's a little bit scary that it can be done on that level, and some blanket move like that can change lives in such a dramatic way.
It's horrible for those who are affected, and this is just scratching the surface of some of the inequities that are in the workers' compensation system, thanks to Governor Brown. Another one that he vetoed, which has gotten a lot of psychologists upset, and for those of you who want to listen to the Doctor's Roundtable, it'll be coming on right after Gervie's Law today, and we are talking with psychologist Dr. Leanna Georgoulis on that show. But what doctor, he's certainly not a doctor. What Governor Brown did was he vetoed the bill that would provide neuropsychologists with accredited designation of qualified medical evaluators. In fact, what he did was he said that those neuropsychologists who practice a specific part of medicine which involves traumatic brain injuries, severely injured workers who suffer from head injuries, they will not be able to obtain QME evaluations, which are medical evaluations in neuropsychology, stating that it is not a recognized subspecialty of psychology. Steve Katalica, who's director of governmental affairs for California Society for Industrial Medicine and Surgery, said the governor's veto was based on faulty reasoning and said, while most California licensing boards, including medical and psychology boards, do not recognize specialties, instead they recognize accrediting organizations that themselves recognize specialties, and the Board of Psychology does recognize the American Psychological Association, which recognizes neuropsychology as a specialty. Now, I know that will make your head spin, Jason. You're listening to this, and you don't practice workers' compensation law. You don't practice law. But if you had a severe head injury and you had cognitive dysfunction, don't you think you would like to be evaluated and treated by someone who is a specialist in that area?
Absolutely. And I think it's scary because neuropsychologists, I know, have to go through even more postdoctoral certification than a psychologist. And to have somebody who is even more qualified, even further into another area, of course I'd want that for myself, for my family. Absolutely.
Right. And you think about it, what was the governor thinking? Probably cutting costs. That's what he's been thinking throughout his tenure as governor with respect to workers' compensation. And yes, he campaigned as a Democrat, but I'll tell you, he threw all of the injured workers under the bus, choosing to take the money from employers, from insurance companies, from places where they certainly did not give any credibility to legitimately injured workers. Yes, we have our injured workers and our attorneys who are really scummy and file claims that don't exist, that are fraudulent. But let's face it, the majority of injuries actually exist. I see it on a daily basis. If anyone could follow me around for a few days and see what my clients go through when they are injured on the job, they are legitimately injured, and this governor just will not give them a break.
Yeah, and you know, Alan, I actually read also that, law enforcement officers, firefighters, employees of the city and of the state, the most common injury that they suffer is brain and spinal cord injury. And so that really, if the governor were to think about that and to think about how that affects taking care of the state that he governs, I think it might give him pause.
Well, maybe. If you have a conscience, it gives you pause. If not, if you're just trying to balance budgets, then maybe not. You know, I want to turn to something about budgets and budgeting. Do you know that a lot of people nowadays are actually putting in their budget the DFS? And you know what DFS is. Daily Fantasy Sports.
There it is.
Let's talk about this. Before we get to Daniel Wallach, and Daniel Wallach we are privileged to have on the show because he is someone who is at the forefront of gaming law and sports law. He's in Florida. He knows everything about all of this. Before we talk to him, Jason, why don't you give everyone a little bit of a background of what the scandal's about, what the controversy's about, and why this isn't going to go away?
Sure. So DraftKings, FanDuel, I know you've been intimately involved for, you know, the better part of two decades, and I've just started to get into fantasy football. I play it safe, too. I haven't put my money in yet. I've been playing on ESPN with coworkers, but the bottom line is that, you know, gambling is, except for in a couple places in the country, illegal. And so the controversy stems from how do companies like DraftKings and FanDuel, who facilitate these fantasy sports betting wagers, get through. And the way that they've done this is, you know, something that has applied to, you know, a casino like a place here in Vegas that bills itself as, say, a card club instead
right.
of a gambling facility or, you know.
Right. Establishment.
Yeah, establishment. And so, you know, there are, you know, a few different things that factor into this, but basically there's this approximately 200-word carve-out for fantasy sports in the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act that was enacted back in 2006, and it makes it illegal to process payments for a bet or wager, classifying fantasy sports as a game of skill instead of a game, instead of, you know, a game
Absolutely.
Of chance.
Absolutely, a game of skill. I'll tell
yeah.
you, I've been playing for 15 years,
no.
and there is so much luck involved. Yeah, I may pick some good players,
yeah.
but whether they're going to produce that particular weekend, I tell you, I've seen it all. But let me ask you this, Jason,
yeah.
before we go to a break,
sure.
really quickly, tell us, you know, FanDuel, DraftKings, what is it?
Yeah, so they're basically companies who you go online and you choose your fantasy sports teams, you choose all your players, and money is associated with how well they perform on the field. And, you know, the controversy just real quickly is, you know, is it a form of kind of insider trading, insider betting for these employees who have privileged knowledge because of the aggregate of all of our type of information that we're inputting into their system that would give those employees of those companies an unfair advantage.
And that's just scratching the surface. You want to listen? When we come back, we're going to talk to Daniel Wallach. He is the sports lawyer in the country when it comes to gaming and gambling. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Coming up on the next Drive Home with Jillian Barber and John Phillips, moments of brilliance.
Peppered with completely inappropriate rape jokes.
Live and local, right after Psycho Mike and Dr. Drew on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
RA Music LLC is seeking a general manager for Kendall's Brasserie and Bar in Los Angeles. Please mail your resume to 1150 South Olive Street, Suite TG25, Los Angeles, California, 90015. Attention, Don Hernandez.
John Cryer here. Life with Mom wasn't easy on TV, but in real life, my mom's a theater legend.
Don't miss Gretchen Cryer and Rex Smith in the world premiere of I'm Still Getting My Act Together and Taking It on the Road, October 7th to November 1st at Laguna Playhouse. Tickets on sale now at lagunaplayhouse.com.
I'm John Cryer, and I approve this message.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC. Welcome back to Gervie's Law, turning Murphy's Law upside down on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
That is right. We are back right here at Gervie's Law. I am Alan Gervie, and I'm here with my co-host for today, Jason Rose. Jason, it has been so much fun since Carrie has not been here having you on board.
Counselor, thank you. I know it's much easier on the eyes with Miss Kasem in the seat, but I appreciate you having me here.
That's true. And what we're going to talk about now, actually, Jason, is something that Carrie probably doesn't know a whole lot about. I don't think she has played a lot of fantasy sports. I have, on the other hand. And we are so honored to have with us the guru of gaming law. That was what Michael McCann called him, Dan Wallach from Becker and Polyakov. Welcome to Gervie's Law.
Yeah, hi. Good evening or good morning. Good
whatever it is, I'll tell you, Dan, your head must be spinning, because when you are nationally recognized authority on gaming law and sports law and everything that has gone on this past week with the Daily Fantasy Sports, you must be in such demand, and we appreciate you coming on Gervie's Law.
Thank you. It's been a dizzying week, probably the most intense 3 days of my entire life, not just my professional career. And I had a headache for 3 days, couldn't get rid of it.
I hope you're feeling better. And, you know, when you say it's been dizzying for your entire life, you have had such an illustrious career. In fact, you used to, many years ago, I know, when you worked for a different company, have clients such as Donald Trump, Carl Icahn, Bob Arum, Julio Cesar Chavez. So when you say this has been a crazy week, it has to have been crazy.
By far, and I wouldn't call the entire career illustrious. I think I've had different facets of my career, and the last 12 months have taken a sharp turn from litigation into sports law. So it's been quite exciting, and I had a taste of it in the position that you referred to, which was in the 1990s. I got to do a lot of boxing litigation, and then I took a different path for about 15 years, and then took a new path. So it's been a roller coaster.
So when you talk about doing boxing litigation versus daily fantasy sports, a lot of people want to know right now, because they may not be as familiar with it as Jason as I am. Tell us why there is such a scandal, why there is a controversy with companies such as DraftKings and FanDuel.
Well, when the industry is rolling along, raking in the big dollars, and it moves from a multi-million dollar industry into the billions, it is inevitable that there will be a hiccup along the way. But nobody imagined the hiccup would rise to the level of an insider trading allegation. I mean, this sort of came out of nowhere. I mean, the biggest threat to the industry was always the prospect of fraud or manipulation, but no one suspected that anybody on the inside would be potentially gaming the system. And it goes to the integrity of these fantasy sports contests. I mean, just like the games on the field, the contests off the field have to have a level playing field, and everyone has to feel that they have a fair chance of winning. And you know, when there's an allegation that a player or an employee of a company has access to data that gives him an upper hand in a million-dollar contest, it rises to the level of a major controversy.
Before we talk about the insider trading allegations and the class action lawsuit or suits that have been filed against DraftKings and FanDuel, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about 2006, talk about the Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act, and how that affected online poker and why it didn't affect or doesn't affect daily fantasy sports.
Well, in 2006, I wasn't in gaming, but now that I've gotten a crash course in gaming law over the last 2 years, what I do know is that the Unlawful Internet Gaming Enforcement Act, which is commonly known as UGEA, basically shut down the illegal online poker industry, and was a federal law that was designed to basically shut that down and go after the payment processors that would process illegal online gaming transactions. But buried into an exemption within UGEA was a carve-out for fantasy sports. But in 2006, fantasy sports occupied a different place in American society.
Absolutely.
They were season-long leagues that consisted of you know, off, you know, colleagues in an office, friends, family members, the local bar, you know, we would each contribute, you know, $50, $100, and the winner take all at the end of the season. But that was penny ante stuff compared to where the industry is now, and nobody envisioned that daily fantasy sports would come around the pike only a few years later and now occupy a financial level that far exceeds anything that the poker industry was. So it begs the question whether that carve-out for fantasy sports intended to encompass daily fantasy sports. And it's an open question. No court has ever addressed it, and it's going to be examined in Congress.
And Dan, to that to that point, you know, they say that it's a shot across the bow, the formal inquiries that have been made by the attorney generals in both Massachusetts and New York into this online fantasy sports betting. But what do you think? I mean, is this a real call to action for, you know, for law enforcement to say, you know, this is not ever going to be the same and your glory days were short and now this might actually be very serious as to, you know, what can be done with these sports betting companies?
Well, the glory days are not over. I think the environment will change significantly going forward. DraftKings, FanDuel, and all the other fantasy sports companies will be able to continue to operate. The legality of fantasy sports will be clarified, and I believe we're going to face an environment where it's no longer going to be in question, but like other types of gambling, such as poker and casino gambling and horse racing, it's going to have to be regulated. All gambling in this country is subject to some level of regulation, usually at the state level, but I believe we're looking ahead and we're going to see some kind of a federal regulatory framework that will capture both the fantasy sports environment as well as sports betting, which will eventually be legal in this country.
Dan, I have a question because a lot of my friends are telling me that they're sick of seeing all of this advertising for DraftKings and FanDuel. People who listen to ESPN radio and watch TV, see it on the internet. Is it true that they spent over $200 million in advertising? And if so, where are they getting the money and why are they spending so much?
Yeah, I mean, the advertising spend or the budget for it is coming from the new round of investments. The New England Patriots, Robert Kraft, NBA, the
Wait a second, Dan. You're telling me Robert Kraft and the New England Patriots, haven't they had enough scandal this year? They're going for more?
I'll tell you what. I think any fan would take four Super Bowls along with two scandals any day of the week.
You got it.
I know in Los Angeles, you would take even a team. So I'll take that level of success and that level of controversy any day of the week.
So go ahead.
Yeah, by the way, the Deflategate controversy has been resolved resoundingly in favor of Brady, and
that's right.
You know, the franchise marches along. So they're almost like the Teflon Don.
Absolutely.
Nothing sticks to them.
Kraft. If he's into this, I wouldn't count him out. But let's talk about some of these other companies and whether there is a conflict of interest. As an attorney, you've done litigation for many years. You understand the concept of conflict of interest. When we talk about NBC Universal, Time Warner, Google, Turner, Comcast, all of these investors in FanDuel and or DraftKings, what about conflicts of interest?
Well, I don't think the media companies have exhibited, I don't think they've been shading any of the news coverage. I mean, I was on ESPN's Outside the Lines yesterday with Jason Robbins and Bob Lee.
Yeah.
Who's the host of the show.
Bob Lee's great.
He's fantastic. Yeah. I mean, he's one of the original anchors from ESPN back to 1979, and he didn't cut any corners. He didn't lay off Jason Robbins. He put Jason under a real grilling. So there's a real independence between the news operation and the entertainment division. I don't believe there are marching orders, from ESPN management to go easy on DraftKings. It's an advertising spend. They are not owners. The ESPN is not an owner of DraftKings, but there are interlocking conflicts of interest in the sense that the professional sports leagues are opposing legal sports betting, but on the other hand are funneling money and profiting from their relationship with daily fantasy sports. So I think it's more of a hypocrisy than a legal conflict of interest that would, you know, we would tend to, you know, characterize it as such as lawyers. It's more of a hypocritical relationship. How can the leagues, how can the teams, you know, resist single game sports wagering when they are owning basically a gambling enterprise?
And I absolutely agree with that, because when we talk about conflict of interest in the strict meaning of the term, you actually have to have some ability to influence the actions. And, of course, what you're talking about, they don't necessarily have an ability to influence the actions of the athletes unless they're paying them off, which we assume they're not. But they certainly are involved in what we would consider gambling, even if they say it's a skill, it's a game of skill.
Yeah, and calling it a game of skill doesn't remove it from the characterization of gambling. As you know, poker is a skill game, and sports betting requires a tremendous amount of skill, and those are considered gambling, and they are illegal in certain jurisdictions, and they're regulated. So the claims by the fantasy sports industry that we are legal because it's a skill game, I think conflates, mischaracterizes the definition of what gambling is. I think the G word is a dirty word for the industry because they don't want to be regulated. The moment they concede or acknowledge that their product is a gambling product, they're opening the door to regulation by either the states or by the federal government. But I think we're on the pathway to there right now in light of, you know, this week's scandal and the hearings that have been called by Congressman Frank Pallone and all the attention and scrutiny that's been placed on the industry since the beginning of the NFL season, all of which was precipitated by this massive advertising spend.
Yeah, that's true. And I have to say, you bring up gambling. And, of course, for those of you who don't know, Dan Wallach has been called the gaming law guru by Michael McCann, who's the legal analyst for Sports Illustrated. So that begs the question, Dan, what are your...
I'm still paying him off.
Yeah, you're still paying him off, I'm sure. I'll take that bet. Now, you know, what are your gambling clients saying about this? Because clearly this type of skill game, the daily fantasy sports, has to be taking a bite out of the profits of people who you've represented in the gambling world.
Not really. I don't view it that way. They're separate consumers. In fact, my gambling clients would love to be able to integrate fantasy sports within their casinos and racetracks, but the reason they are precluded from doing so is because of the murky legal environment in which daily fantasy sports operates. There's a question as to whether it's legal. It hasn't been conclusively resolved, and until we reach the moment of clarity, casinos, racetracks, and other gaming operators are resistant to embrace it because of the prospect of jeopardizing their license.
But that's not saying that they may not see some opportunity from all of this, and that's really the way to look at it versus seeing it as a horrible competition that's going to close them down, which of course it won't. We have to take a quick break, Dan. Stay with us. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We'll be right back.
Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And for the second year in a row, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
At TIAA Cref, our record sounds like a broken record. We got impressive results in 2013. And 2014, same thing. We're like, hey, weren't we just here? Then 2015, boom, more impressive results. That's the kind of record you'd expect from a company that's created to serve and built to perform. Intelligent investing, powerful results. Visit TIAA.org. TIAA Cref Individual and Institutional Services, LLC. Investing involves risk.
Now would be the time to replace your windows with American Vision Windows. You can increase the beauty, the security, and lower your electric bill every month and pay less, because American Vision Windows, they're going to pay the tax. Plus, they have free expert installation. The phone number, 877-465-2470. That's 877-465-2470.
CSLB number 778326.
Orchard Supply Hardware, the home improvement store right in your neighborhood. You'll always find weekly specials, helpful service, and quality products for your paint, home repair, and backyard projects arranged in an easy-to-shop layout. Find a store near you at osh.com.
Get news, weather, sports, markets, and traffic first on the Fours.
A real informative.
Only here.
KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
Yeah, I wish you could call Kerry Kasem, but she is not here. You're listening to Alan Gervey, and I'm here with Jason Rose, who's pinch hitting on this Daily Fantasy Sports show today, Gervey's Law. We're talking to Dan Wallach, and Dan Wallach is a leading authority in gaming law and sports law, and we're talking about the controversies that have occurred over the last few weeks, especially this past week, with FanDuel and DraftKings. There was a class action lawsuit filed, at least one of them, and I believe it was filed in New York, Dan, is that correct, by a lawyer from Kentucky with an association of a Long Island attorney?
That's correct. A lawsuit was filed late in the afternoons, shortly before 5 o'clock in the Southern District of New York. It was the first class action lawsuit arising out of these events, but it will be the first of probably many. And tomorrow I would expect to see a couple of other lawsuits drop and more into next weekend. You know, as with all class actions, when there's a controversy or a scandal, it could be the BP oil spill. All the plaintiffs' class action firms, you know, work on complaints, and you see complaints filed in multiple jurisdictions. And I wouldn't be surprised to see double digits worth of class action lawsuits, and they'll eventually be consolidated either in the Southern District of New York or in the District of Maryland, where DraftKings is based. So,
and Dan, isn't it true that last week when you were in Vegas at a gaming conference, you said that you don't think that these lawsuits are going to have much success, and that there's going to be regulations perhaps, but no prohibitions?
Right. I wasn't speaking about the lawsuits. We had no indication even as little as a week ago that this insider trading scandal was in the offing. And what I was speaking about was that the industry, the daily fantasy sports industry, is so big, so popular, 56 million people play. There's a lot of legitimate investment behind it. It's not going to go away. It won't be prohibited. And despite all of the concerns about, the consumer protection and so forth, that we were really more on the road. I believe we're on the road to a regulated environment rather than an outright prohibition. I said it was too big to fail. It's not too big to fail, but it's too big to go away.
Okay, so now comment, because I stand corrected. That's true that these lawsuits, or at least this one that was filed on Thursday, now begs the question as what's going to happen. Is this insider trading allegation or the fraud allegations going to impact the ability for the DFS to continue?
I don't believe so, because right now the only evidence, well, it's not even evidence, but we've heard about one incident, one episode involving the Millionaire Maker contest in FanDuel for one particular week involving a pool of a couple of $1 million. So the exposure to the industry arising out of this one contest is measured in the seven figures, not the eight or nine figures. But the real issue and the concern, I believe, going forward is if, through the discovery process and through sworn testimony and subpoenas, we learn of other contests where insiders won big pots and may have had access to inside information. And it's not simply about the 2015 season. We can go back
right
through discovery and examine all 18 or 19 weeks of last year's regular season. It could conceivably involve dozens of multi-million dollar contests. So, this could just be the tip of the iceberg. or it could be the end of the road. We don't know, but I don't believe that the dollar valuations of damages are going to be catastrophic to the injury to the industry. The exposure that the industry faces is if it becomes widespread and prevalent, if insiders are gaming the system through the first year and a half or the first year and change of the DFS life cycle, then that will call into question the legitimacy of the entire industry. And we can't afford that. DraftKings and FanDuel, you know, they can't afford a prevalent insider trading scheme. If it's limited to just a couple of blips, then it could be managed and controlled. But through discovery, through the Attorney General investigations, we might discover that it's a lot more than, you know, they're letting on.
And we may not be just talking about money here, because I read somewhere, and I don't believe it, but I read somewhere that DraftKings and FanDuel may have a value of $1 billion each. So they may not be fearful of any damages, but what you're talking about is something much bigger, which could result in perhaps the regulation that you have spoken about in the past.
Yeah, regulation is going to happen anyway. It was bound to happen, even if this week had never, you know, the events of this week had never transpired. The conversation 7 days ago, before we learned of the name Ethan Haskell or the words insider trading and DFS, this industry was on the verge of being regulated. There was no question in my mind. And this week's revelation, I think, ensure and guarantee that. And
you know,
I believe the train has left the station, and the industry can't continue to maintain that they're able to self-regulate.
And
they're
going to be
not going to happen.
Dan, there's going to be people who are not going to be happy about it. Let's take Sahil Sood, who, of course, is known as the top daily fantasy player in the world. And some say that he could make up to $5 million this year.
Isn't that the CEO of Unicorn?
Yeah. He's 26 years old, and he lives in an apartment that I'm not sure. It was Rajay Rondo of the Boston Celtics used to rent. And now this guy from the Daily Fantasy Sports Winners, the winner take all, is living there. It's just a short distance from, I believe, FanDuel, which is in Boston. I'm not sure if it's DraftKings or FanDuel. But there are a lot of people who are benefiting, and a lot of people are really upset about it. And I want to bring on the line right now attorney Mark Polin, who used to be a sports agent, has a long history in understanding gambling, and has a few things that I think he's not really happy about when we talk about daily fantasy sports. Mark, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hi, Alan, and hi, Daniel. Daniel makes a lot of really good points, but I'm going to give you a different point of view from the gambler point of view, that to me the fantasy game is a rigged game, that from talking to gamblers and it being unregulated, that certain people with computer algorithms are winning most of the money. The daily fans, the 50 million people, are losing money because the game is rigged against them, and there must be regulation. Vegas and the other casinos around the country that where they allow gambling have to get involved so this can be regulated, because the gamblers are getting screwed big time.
Mark, do you see any difference between action in Vegas and daily fantasy? You talk about it being rigged, and it skews toward people who understand the algorithms. Isn't that the same as Vegas?
No, because in Vegas, when they set a line on a game, they want half the people to bet New England and half the people to bet against New England. They're running on a 5% profit on the 10% vigorish in each game. Vegas is only trying to make 5%. I think the fantasy, and I don't know the exact percentages, Daniel would probably know them better than me, I believe they're taking a much bigger cut than 5% from the people. And then you get the people with the computer algorithms and paying for all that advertising, the gamblers are really getting screwed.
Dan?
Yeah, I agree with most of what Mark said. The rake, as they don't like to use the word rake, but the rake for the daily fantasy sports operators is close to between 8 and 10%. But in calling it rigged, I think it's skewed heavily towards the sharks. And the recent studies have shown that 2% of the daily fantasy sports player base are collecting the overwhelming majority of the profits.
and there's an unlevel playing field in many of these contests. You know, the advertising portrays that any average Joe, you know, can win $1 million. No, you're competing. You're not, you know, you're competing against other players, unlike in regulated sports betting where you have a line and, you know, presumably half people on one side, half the people on the other. The losers are losing to the winners. And there's too much of a disproportion between the winners and the losers, and it's skewed heavily to the people who use algorithms, advanced data, advanced analytics. These are the true sharks, and there are no protections in place. So the industry is not far enough along in its life cycle to create a different types of contests depending on your skill level. I think the game might be too skilled. And
guys, stop. Dan, I got to say something. You and Mark are talking. I don't necessarily disagree, but I have to say something. You're making it sound like you have skill. I understand algorithms, but you still are talking about players, athletes. We don't know what's going to happen. A couple of weeks ago on my fantasy team, I took Greg Olsen out. He had done nothing in the first 2 weeks of the season. And what happens? He gets 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. You're telling me that Sahul Sood is going to figure out who is going to perform and who isn't, even though there are times where he takes risks because he's putting so much money into it and he's using the same players all over again. But still, we're talking about players who are performing and we don't know when they're going to perform or when they're not.
Yeah, that's true as a general proposition, but if you look at the results and who's winning, the gentleman that you refer to isn't just playing fielding one team. He has all these scripts and multiple entries in a given contest, and he has all of his bases covered. It's not feast or famine on the performance of one particular running back. There's a reason why 2% of the player base is collecting 80% of the profit.
Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it's outrageous. That I heard it was like 1.9%, 2%, getting 80% of the profits, the game's rigged.
Well, you know, Mark, you know, I actually read that 0.3% of the total money won on the DraftKings site goes to employees. I mean, that's kind of an anomalous amount there.
Well, let me correct that. You have the point that it's 0.03% of all of the FanDuel prize monies paid out have gone to employees of DraftKings. And that misstates or doesn't accurately portray the true raw dollars that equates to. We're talking close to $10 million that had been won by employees of a company that can't have more than 100 or 200 employees. So do the math. I think the insiders are doing quite well playing on the other sites, and as any shark, they have an upper hand over neophyte gamblers, and I don't believe that there's a level playing field. There can be a level playing field, but they haven't figured it out yet. Far from being rigged, I just think the neophytes are severely disadvantaged.
And they won't figure it out. We got to talk a little bit more about this. We have one more segment. I want to talk about this insider trading business. You're listening to Gervy's Line with Dan Wallach and Mark Poland with my guest co-host Jason Rose. We'll be right back.
CeCe Sabathia puts his teammates, puts Yankee fans on the back burner for the sake of his disease. I can easily see how someone says, well, that's not a disease. My aunt has cancer. That's a disease. One of those people was Rush Limbaugh. He used to constantly talk about how, this is not a disease, my friends. This is simply a lack of willpower. This is someone who doesn't want to make something of their life. But if you don't have that in your brain, you don't have that little tweak that I have, you don't understand.
Dr. Drew, Midday Live, with Psycho Mike Catherwood. Weekdays, noon to 3, on KABC.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervy & Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gerby, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
You're listening to Gerby's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, you're listening to Gerby's Law. I'm Alan Gerby. I'm here with guest co-host today, Jason Rose. And we are getting fired up on Daily Fantasy Sports because it has just taken over controversy, scandal. And we are fortunate to have two experts on the line. Dan Wallach is in Florida. You're in Florida, right, Dan?
Yes, Fort La- I live in North Miami, and my firm is in Fort Lauderdale.
And that's Becker and Polyakov. And he is a gaming law guru, according to Sports Illustrated. And Mark Polin, a former sports agent who's a lawyer in Los Angeles and knows a lot about Vegas. Mark, you spend some time in Vegas, don't you?
Yes, I hope my wife's not listening to this show, but I spend a lot of time in Vegas.
Yeah, I know you have law conferences there, so usually it's there to learn.
What happens on Gerby's Law stays on Gerby's Law.
That's right. We're just like Vegas.
Alan just got that tattoo.
Yeah, right. So we want to talk a little bit about the insider trading because I think both of our guests have said that, you know, maybe, and Dan won't go as far as saying rigged, but he is concerned that these allegations of the insider trading may cause a lot of problems for FanDuel and DraftKings. And before the break, we were talking about how it all works. Why don't you just give a synopsis of how this insider trading allegation came about?
Oh, you're asking me, Dan.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
Dan.
There's a DraftKings employee who posted ownership percentages of players on a website called RotoGrinders. And that caused an immediate stir in the daily fantasy sports community because that kind of information was only accessible to employees, and it showed the percentage ownership of various players. Now, you win these kinds of millionaire maker contests not by having the same players that everybody else has, but by exploiting the market inefficiencies. By way of example, the quarterback on the Cincinnati Bengals was Dalton.
Yep.
Maybe I'm messing up his name.
Nope.
He was only owned
it.
By 4% of the players. Now, he had a fantastic game the week that this individual won $350,000. And if you had the ability to spot the players that were underowned relative to their expected productivity, you could differentiate your lineup from other contestants in the field, and certainly if you knew how your opponents were picking players and you were the only one who knew that, you could rig your lineup in such a way as to enhance your chances of winning. Of course, it doesn't guarantee a victory. Your players still have to perform, but if you have an enhanced likelihood of winning, well, that gives you an edge. It's
Mark,
not insider trade. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, we get the point now. I want to turn to Mark Polin because I know he's listening intently, but he's going to say that this advertising blitz is affecting a lot of people. The average person hears it, and they're saying, I can make $1 million. Mark, Dan has just given an incredibly articulate explanation as to what this insider trading and why it's so effective. You tell me about the average person. Let's say your son, Richie, he's the average gambler. Is he going to be able to figure all this out?
Of course not. These kids, they pay attention. You're talking about out of 50 million people that played, 2% are winning, and basically, and the rest is it's a crapshoot. And these poor people, the ads are sickening. They're on every minute. I think MLB owns one of the companies, and now even the players' associations are getting involved with this. And it just gives the average person, they think, oh, we're going to just win, and they forget that they're gambling, they're really gambling dollars, and there's so many losers, people are going to be affected. They're going to get credit card debt, it's going to be horrible for the general population.
And Mark Polin is the knight in shining armor trying to save all of you people listening to the show right now from throwing your money away. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of football, apparently doesn't care because he just made some comments about, we'll let the states regulate it. What's that all about, Dan?
Well, I don't know that Roger Goodell is advocating regulation at all. You know, with the commissioner, he seems to be changing his tune, you know, week by week. And I don't know that he's the best spokesman for the professional sports league.
He isn't.
I would pay more attention.
Not a lot of credibility.
No, he lost.
Yeah, I think what's coming out of Adam Silver is far more credible and insightful. But going back to the little person being taken advantage of, there are ways to play daily fantasy sports where you're not taken advantage of by the sharks, and in contests that are out of your depth. You can play head-to-head contests. You could be in beginners contests. And I think the advertising needs to dial down a little bit in terms of the puffery and the claims or the display of people holding these checks. If you're going to play daily fantasy sports, you should know what you're getting into, and there should be more candor in the advertising. And once this is regulated, I believe you're going to see these over-the-top advertisements dialed down significantly. You don't see advertisements like this from racetracks or from MGM or the Wynn. And in a regulated environment, I don't believe these companies will be able to advertise, not so much to the extent, but the claims and the environment that they're trying to create, or the implication that anybody can win. I think those need to be regulated and approved either at a state level or by the Federal Trade Commission, and you're going to see the Federal Trade Commission get involved very soon.
So, Dan, what would you think about an ad that came on TV when you're watching your Monday Night Football on ESPN that said, if you aced calculus in high school, you too can win hundreds of thousands of dollars with DraftKings? I mean, you know, it's going to have to be something of that caliber, or do you think that, you know, there's middle ground there?
No, I mean, what we've been seeing over the last couple of weeks, we're never going to see that in future years because regulation will change everything. And, you know, there are lawsuits. There are lawsuits, you know, class action lawsuits that are pending in different federal courts over the alleged deceptive and unfair trade practices and the false advertising. So the lawsuits coupled with the scrutiny from Congress and from the attorney generals and future regulation, I think we're going to see a different, a more tempered level of advertising. I think that advertising kicked sand in everybody's face.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
Woke up Congress, woke up the public, woke up the media.
Yeah.
It ended up having the opposite effect. FanDuel and DraftKings may have signed up a lot of new customers from this advertising, but it brought a heap of trouble and a heap of negative spotlight on
absolutely.
The industry. And now we're seeing that come to fruition,
and that's what we're talking about. We only have a minute and a half left. Mark Polin.
Wow, 9 minutes goes fast.
It goes fast, really fast on the radio. Mark, tell us, you got to have some last thoughts on this. Give us some of your skillful perspective here.
My skillful perspective as a gambler who wants to have a chance to win is get rid of fantasy sports and legalize sports betting and have it regulated. Because I think with the fantasy sports, it's like the lottery, and regular people will not have a chance to win in general.
Dan, agreed or not agreed?
I totally agree with the legalization of sports betting, and that is going to happen. But I believe it's going to happen side by side with the legalization or the legal clarity and regulation of daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy sports can be saved. It's a major industry. Too many people play it and love it. It just needs to be reformed.
You know, I'll tell you, we are going to have to pick this up another time. We could talk for hours. We're out of time. Mark Polin, thank you so much for those very astute comments. And Dan Wallach, good luck as you continue to represent all of these ventures and go speaking all over the world about sports, gambling, daily fantasy sports. Thanks for being on Gervie's Law.
Thank you,
thank
Alan.
You
thank
for,
you,
Jason.
Have a nice day, guys. And I want to thank everyone for listening to Gervie's Law. We will be back here at 2 o'clock next week.
The preceding program was a paid commercial announcement. The sponsor is responsible for its content, which Talk Radio 790 KABC does not necessarily endorse or support.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom.
I go to school with your children.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
You see me around the neighborhood and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every five children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger.
This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we can grow up to be whatever we want.
I want to grow up to be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry.
There's enough food in this country to feed everybody.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger.
Together, we are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
K-A-B-C. We have been loyal listeners to KABC for many, many years.
Doug and Siri are awesome. Julian and John are great.